Yes. Not just any button. The button. Yes.
Button.
Not all the buttons, though, because not all of them are configured. Anyway, hello, my name is Crash, and we're playing Cypher Shorts, which is a little weird. I'm going to explain it in more detail, but first, I'm not just by myself. That would make it a really weird TTRPG. I'm joined by Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen. I can't even ask what happened last time, because it's a one-shot, and nothing happened last time. It's a one-shot. Spoiler, I'm about to ask them what happened last time. Yes. So, I looked ahead and saw that episodes that I was editing were going to go live in October, and I thought, we need a Halloween special that actually goes live in Halloween, or in October at least, instead of, you know, middle of winter, or spring, or... for an entire year because we fell in love with the pre-made characters.
The play breaks the GM.
You all start with one XP. You already have it. So, because it's a one-shot, we are using an abbreviated version of Cypher System called Cypher Shorts. It doesn't have the wide range of things to make your sentences that regular Cypher System has. But it's still a everything in the kitchen sink style means of creating characters. Naturally,
and it looks better with sandals.
Just give yourself your second XP. Just give yourself your second XP. It's fine. It's totally fine. We're going to have to do some heavy duty work here. So make sure that you're actually wearing your Cypher System jorts, everyone. Because those have pockets and you're probably going to need them. Yes. So we've made a bunch of characters, and because a kitchen sink TTRPG cannot be left alone, I've created some custom lineages that three of our four players have created. Before we introduce them, I'm going to give the premise for this. We are playing a chapter out of the Candlekeep Mysteries book that was purchased over a year ago, because over a year ago I stopped buying stuff from Wizards of the Coast. But that book in particular is wonderful, and I'm so glad I purchased it. I usually don't buy pre-made adventures, but it's all about books, so of course I did. This particular chapter is the one on the Book of the Raven, hence the name. And the premise for our characters is they are a bunch of amateur treasure hunters. That by amateur treasure hunters, this might actually be the first treasure that they're really looking for. Going to a neighbor's backyard and digging up the area right where they want to have a flower bed started in exchange for a few copper doesn't count as treasure hunting.
I found but a mouse once with catnip. It was under a couch.
One man's mouse is another lionkin's treasure.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, someone found a book that they stole from a raven. The party is using the word stole. The person who gave you the book did not. It wasn't a raven person. It was an actual raven. And inside the book was a handwritten journal. But inside the book was a treasure map that had been placed in there at some point. The treasure map gave instructions for going on a long trail that the adventure as written expected me to also have you roleplay your adventure through there. Because this is a one-shot, we're not doing that. Instead, I'm going to point out the map to the players, which is in Foundry right now over there on the left-hand side, where it says, "Evil, beware!" And it's got some directions at the bottom of it. I particularly like the scorch of the red worm, where it's a smoking crater. I want everyone to know I had nothing to do with that. I have an alibi. I'm not even in this game. Yes, this is still taking place on Circulus with a different rule set. It's fine. I have an alibi. I'm responsible for that large crater over there. You'll notice it's much larger. Way larger. It's huge. Just saying. I'll see myself out now. So I'm going to ask each player what they encountered on the way that was a hardship and how they overcame it. Now, this could be like a group thing where the whole party was dealing with this, but it was primarily overcome by that one thing that that one character did. That's kind of what I'm going for here. So asking what happened last time when nothing happened last time, because we're making it up. Mm-hmm. So
there were rivers.
Oh, yes. Beth, tell us about your character. What is your character?
Orange. Also feline. That's really about it. Has a big, sturdy walking stick. Possibly hits people with it.
Quite possibly. And the problem you encountered was that there was a river. Multiple rivers, actually.
Sometimes there's rain, and that's terrible.
Oh. Well, how did you overcome the rivers?
Very carefully. There's sometimes there's stepping stones, and sometimes there's like tree branches. And once there was a vine, and the vine broke, but fortunately, Porticali hung onto the vine and it swung them over to the correct side.
All right.
And they may have been screaming a yodeling sort of scream as they went because they were afraid that it was going to break and drop them into the river.
And when you landed on the other side, a small stone caught your eye. It was an odd-looking stone. Didn't look like it belonged there. So you picked it up and examined it, and you found that it was, in fact, a cipher. I have just rolled for your cipher. It is... Hold on. Why are you not letting me drag this over? It is the charm cipher. So let's go get that. Oh, that's why. You're telling me that cipher doesn't exist. Well, then how am I supposed to use it, huh? Not very kind of you. Well, I'm just going to re-roll. See what you like about that.
That works.
There we go. Here's your cipher. An instant tower. Oh my gosh, it's a level 6 cipher. Creates a simple squat stone tower with a door, 3 arrow slits, and a ceiling hatch leading to the roof. The tower is 10 feet, 3 meters, square, and 12 feet, 4 meters tall. If the cipher level is 7 or higher, it's a level 6, so it's not. You get extra things going on.
So you don't have to worry about it.
If there isn't sufficient room for the tower to reach its full size, it fills the available space, but its appearance and growth does not apply any force or pressure against the confining surfaces. You could chew on this stone and activate it, and you'd have a small scale model. The tower is permanent and immobile once created.
I don't think I want to chew on that.
All right. So that is the cipher that you encountered. So with
somebody left this lying around.
It might have fallen out of their pocket. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What was Well, first of all, hello, Jen. Tell us about your character.
Crazy is a little fluffy yellow cockatiel with orange cheeks. She's an avian kin, so she has wings, but they're not very good for flight because of the size of the avian kin, and she has, you know, little bird feet instead of humanoid feet, so she doesn't wear boots or anything like that. She's a botanist, which means she gets hungry and looks for seeds and berries when she's hungry. So that's a little bit about her. What else do I need?
We have described her multiple times before hitting the record button as,
yes,
a cockatiel with a bat.
Yes, she does. She has a bat, yes, because it's kind of like a perch.
And also but, you know, can hit things with it.
Yes.
But with that said, I mean, if you hit a tree hard enough, seeds fall out of it.
Yeah, so what, there we go.
What was a hardship that was encountered on the way here?
Encountered on the way here. She had to leave her flock to go adventure.
Oh. How did you overcome this hardship?
Promised to bring back more seeds for everyone, I guess. You know? So she's just going to be gathering those as she goes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't help me. Ooh, that's interesting. Okay, so your flock is going to miss you terribly.
Mm-hmm.
And so to remind you to come home safely and try to help you come home safely, they give you a small pouch of powder.
Oh.
Yes. Well, this powder has a special attribute. It is a lycanthrope ward, and I've added it to your character sheet. So, for 1 hour, the user gains armor equal to the cipher's level, and it's a level one cipher, against damage from werewolves and other lycanthropes.
Oh, neat.
Yes.
Perfect.
For the listeners at home, or wherever you're listening to this, I may have discovered random roll tables in Foundry VTT, and I'm making use of them dag nabbit because I can.
Yep.
Okay, next up, Ellie. Ellie, please tell us about your character. Oh, 1 second. And even though we're doing Theater of the Mind, as I address each character, I'm dragging them to the other side of the map. Like, yes, I've talked to this one. Who's next? I will not forget someone. Oh, no. Io's character's making a break for it.
Oh, my.
Well, Ori is happiest when she can find out what's behind that door. She spent her whole life exploring, and she is mostly here because there's a new place. She's very sad that none of the rest of the party would let her go into any of the caves they saw.
Oh. And?
But the hardship that she faced was that she was going to tightrope walk over that vine.
Oh, no.
And she overcame it by using a fallen log to walk across the river instead.
All right. So, under that fallen log, which it's a little weird, but you found like a part of a torn page where it had clearly been ripped out of a larger book. Should be rotted and decayed if it was out here in the rain and everything. But no, most of it's still like in one piece. And examining it, you discover that you have found a restorative aura cipher.
Oh.
It's level one. Creates an immediate area filled with aromatic smoke, reassuring sounds, gentle light, or other pleasing sensations that last for 1 hour. Creatures who rest within the area gain +2 on their recovery rolls, or +4 for cipher level 5 or higher. NPCs instead recover 2 health if they spend at least 10 minutes within the area. For a creature to gain this benefit, its entire rest must occur while the cipher is active. And that brings us to our last but not least of the characters. Io, tell us about your character.
Perga is an itinerant cleric. They don't worship a single god. They make offerings to all the gods in an area, sometimes on behalf of others, that sort of thing. They come through and they'll beseech the local god of that river over there for better fishing because such and such fishermen asked, that sort of thing. And usually they live on the charity of whatever community they're in, and that's not working very well right now, and they might be in a little bit of debt to somebody, and well, so they've joined this group that's going hunting for treasure.
In my head canon, you're like a few hours walk from your destination when everyone realizes that it's everyone else's first time hunting treasure. But in any case, what was a hardship that you encountered on the way?
Hopefully not that you curl up into a little ball that is absolutely hilarious to bat around.
Oh no. I am digging a moat around my sleeping bag.
So the hardship you encounter is Portacolli.
Apparently.
And you overcome it by digging a moat.
It's wet.
Yes, there's considering Portacolli is aquaphobic, being a prowlerkin, this makes total sense. Well, in the act of digging, you dig up a carved stick. Now, you dug up plenty of roots and stuff, too, but this one had clearly been selected and altered. So that struck you as odd, and I am going to re-roll that because I am not giving you two instant towers. There we go.
Side by side.
No. No.
You could put the one on top of the other.
No.
No.
Double tower.
No. Instead, you are getting a cipher of fire resistance. Ooh, this one's level 4. The user gains armor against fire damage equal to the cipher's level for 1 hour. Now, the way these characters are set up, because you're doing cipher shorts, there is no adept, so everyone can have up to 2 ciphers before bad things happen. If you get a third cipher, I highly recommend you get rid of one of them quickly. Anyway, you are, at this point, having encountered and overcome all of your hardships. Well, not all of them, but a number of hardships. Some of the hardships. A small number. That's still too many hardships. Put some of those hardships back. That's still too many hardships. Why? Who told the cat person they could keep picking up hardships? The cat person is orange.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to be told. Yes. You are outside of where the map said you were going to find treasure, provided you could, you know, withstand the evils that lie within. Welcome, everyone, to Chalet Brantifax. I am going to alter the map. Pray that I do not alter it further. I need to move that test character out of the way because you are not going to see Carrie Muleson. Carrie Muleson is the name I gave the character that I put all the starting equipment in so I could copy it over quickly and easily. And Perga. There we go. And so activate this
there
map.
We there we go.
Map is
teeny.
Oop.
There it is.
Hold on a second. I think
walls should be there.
I put the pangolin on the other side of a wall.
Oops.
I mean, dig.
Yes, but you can't dig through those walls. Okay, so you are outside of the chalet. It looks like it was once very fancy. At this point, it looks like it's been abandoned for quite some time. It's one of those houses that has a big, fancy, round turret thing that goes up for several floors. But the top of it isn't.
Oh.
Yes. There's a lot of the top of it that just isn't there anymore. There's some bits of like roof beam up there still and still some shingles. There's a lot of it elsewhere, probably. The siding is coming off in places. The windows have... They're not made to look like jail cell bars, but the windows, while they are obviously broken in places, do have metal going across them so that you can't just say, oh, look, this window is crash open. I'll just walk through and see if it's safe inside. and make sure that any treasure is protected. Yes. And there is a large set of double doors at the top of a short staircase that are closed in front of you.
I could knock.
You can definitely knock. You can also walk around and explore, as some of you are starting to do.
Maybe there's...
I feel a bit obligated to knock just in case something answers.
Okay. So you go up the stairs.
Hey, guys, I found letters.
Ooh, letters.
they say G R O U N D F L O O R.
Someone put this floor in a blender.
You're gonna knock on the door?
Oh, well, interesting.
I am trying to look up something real quick because when I make up the adventure, I usually have a lot of it in my brain already. But when it's pre-printed, I'm relying on someone else's notes.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a problem thereof. Let's see.
Where did they put this note? Where did they put that note? Yes,
because I remembered there was something relevant, but I had to find the thing. Perga, give me... This is going to be an intellect roll. It's based on being able to hear something. I'm going to say it's difficulty 2, so you have to roll a 6 or higher unless you have something that can ease the task.
Was that aimed at me?
Yes.
A difficulty 2, what?
You might be able to pick out a sound. So this is based on being able to hear it.
No, I don't think I have anything that would ease the test.
Okay, well, then it'll be a d20 roll.
I do not have my thing that rolls a d20 and goes in a...
There's a few ways you can do it. There is a d20 next to each of your 3 pools, might, speed, and intellect. With an 11, you easily make the roll. You hear what sounds like a snorting hog, like maybe a boar. You've encountered boars before in the wild. You were very glad to have your armor then.
Who would keep boars in there?
You don't know?
Maybe they snore.
I think they got in on their own.
Maybe they snore.
Now, while you were knocking, the rest of the party was taking the tour around the grounds. Part of the house is built into a hill or above the hill, kind of both, kind of, sort of, maybe. But you did, as you were going around, walk around a graveyard. A 7-foot tall wrought iron fence encloses a small graveyard south of the chalet. Set into the north side of the enclosure is a gate with the name Brantifax worked into an arch above it. In the yard are 4 graves, each marked with an engraved headstone.
How high is the fence around it?
7 feet.
Okay.
But there's also a gate, and it does not appear to be unlocked, so...
Oh, that'll do.
So you can leave the... You can investigate the graveyard, you can investigate the door, you can try to climb the walls, you can try to knock out a window, you can burn it all to the ground and sift the ashes.
Hopefully not.
Chris isn't here. So I don't think the burning it all to the ground thing is going to be done. But
probably not. Okay.
Hey, don't count your red dragons before they roost.
They roost?
I hatched too many centuries ago. I had to change it to something.
Okay.
Okay, so for our listeners at home, Jen's character, whose name I'm forgetting already, and I'm the one that named Gracie, is taking a second circuit around the whole house while everyone else is gathering by the door.
Well, you know, you might miss stuff if you don't do it twice. That's what cocktails do most of the time.
There you go. Yep, you see the same thing, 7-foot tall fence. It doesn't look like anyone has taken care of this gravesite in a very long time, although even in the dim light that your lantern casts, you can see that something is engraved on the tombstone. Without going into the graveyard itself, you aren't close enough to be able to read the actual words. But somebody did carve words into the gravestone. At that exact moment that you're walking around this large metal fence, there is a peal of thunder.
Oh dear, it's going to rain, isn't it?
And then it's like somebody dumped a lake on top of everyone. It is pouring down. You are immediately drenched. All of you.
I am going to back away from Porticolli.
Yep. Well,
everyone is backing away from Porticolli.
Yeah. If there's water coming from the sky, cockatiels take a bath. They just kind of flap their little wings around and do that thing.
For our listeners at home, Porticolli is, as a prowlerkin, could have picked one of 2 different hindrances, 2 negative traits. And what was picked was aquaphobic.
Oh no. Sad kitty.
There is a door that you can attempt to go through.
Well, I was going to go investigate the graveyard, by which I mean perhaps pay my respects a little bit, but I suppose Porticolli has to get inside.
Porticolli is scrabbling at the door, pathetically.
Oh, here, I'll try to help you open that.
The door does not open. It appears to be locked.
I will help someone open that.
This is a GM intrusion. So, Porticolli, you are getting one XP for this because I am... Let's face it, this is targeting you. This is a you targeting problem. Yes. Mm-hmm. So
I add an XP in?
I just added one. Okay. But in addition, somebody else can earn XP for assisting with solving this problem of cat is in the rain and does not want to be.
Oh, wow.
Maybe we can...
Scratch.
I suppose the...
Can I... Sorry.
Yes.
No. Do go ahead.
Can I scan the door?
You can scan the door, sure. You can scan anything you want. That's why you have that ability. And looking at my notes here, scan. You scan an area equal in size to a 10-foot cube, including all objects or creatures within that area. The area must be within short range. Scanning a creature or object always reveals its level. This door appears to be level 7.
Wow! Wow! Yeah!
Does this building have a roof?
It does have a roof. The tower roof is not 100% together, but
okay.
The rest of the roof seems to, other than a few missing shingles here and there, be mostly intact. I'm continuing to go through scan because I'm looking for one specific detail that is going to determine what other information I reveal. Ah, wonderful. So here's the thing. The door is level 7. If you decided you were just going to try to Kool-Aid man through there, you'd have to roll a 21 on a d20.
Oh my. Uh-huh.
But, you know, you can do things to bring that difficulty down. However, you are also able to tell that the reason why the door doesn't open is because there is a crossbar going across on the inside of these double doors. If something was done to move that out of the way, the doors would open.
Aha.
Well, I will just step away from that and not headbutt it. I was going to headbutt it.
Does anyone have a saw?
Nope.
A saw?
Nope.
Okay, where's this broken roof?
The tallest part of the building.
And how tall is that?
Third floor.
Oh, I can get to the third floor easy.
Just
what's my difficulty for climbing?
With it raining, yeah. I am going to say that the difficulty 4 because rain. So okay. You'd have to roll a 12 or higher.
All right.
Per floor.
Give you a boost if you like.
I am using my skill in climbing, and I'm going to apply a level of effort.
Okay. I will let that go for all 3 floors. So you're bringing down difficulty 2. You got to roll higher than 6 3 times. And everyone who remembers the Satanic Panic is... Okay, well, that's a 3.
I didn't do it the first time, so...
But that was the first floor, so you can definitely try again.
Okay.
Hmm?
I was offering to give a boost. I have an ability.
Oh, which ability is this?
I help. I can use an action to ease everyone else's action if they're within short range.
I will say that for the first floor, definitely within short range. After that, not so much. So that 3 is a success. Let's see the next roll.
Okay. Oh, then.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I fell
That's
off.
That's a 1.
Aww.
You fall. Okay. So.
I'm getting rid of all these low rolls.
True.
Yes, it's appreciated. I also have some random tables that I made specifically for GM intrusions, but I'm not going to use that one because it specifically involves you having a conversation with an NPC. No. That's something bursting remarkably into flame when you're in the middle of a rainstorm. That's not going to happen either.
The problem with random generators.
Yes. Okay. I will tell you what happens. I will tell you why climbing up doesn't work. Now, here's the thing. Where you are now, that's not where you would have been climbing because you were trying to climb to the part where you knew there was a hole in the roof. So that was not in the graveyard. That was over here. And as you are climbing up, you're getting to the point where, you know what, the wall has a hole in it as well right around here. You probably wouldn't have to climb up that much higher, not all the way to the top of the third floor to get through here. Right as you're getting up there, a bunch of black shapes that you realize they are ravens. As your grip loosens in surprise and time starts to slow down as you are descending a story and a half rather quickly, you are going to need to make a speed defense roll to avoid taking damage. This is difficulty 4.
Oh.
Okay. There's so you went from a nat 1 to a nat 20. So the rest of the party, well, everyone who cared to come over here and look, I honestly, I unlocked the door. Please don't do that. Everyone except Beth's character, possibly, is over here watching you do this climb. The cat is still by the door because, no, why are you leaving? Door here, open this. is watching you climb up. And how do you catch yourself to prevent yourself from taking any damage?
I am going to turn my fall backwards into a flip and then do a further somersault while I'm on the ground to absorb some of that momentum.
When you rise up, you have taken no damage at all. You are still soaking wet. In the darkness and the gloom, you may have like leaf litter and mud caked to your body, but your lantern is still glowing. You have taken no damage, and you made it look easy.
Not even close to the worst fall I've taken.
I am going to give you a subtle cipher.
Okay.
Subtle ciphers aren't items. They work like ciphers, but they're just a thing you can do for a while. This is going to be a contingent activator.
Okay.
If the device is activated in conjunction with another cipher, the user can specify a condition under which the linked cipher will activate. And there's more to that that I'm sure you will take a look at. Okay. So the downside is you're back here on the ground now.
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah.
Good, good, that's good.
Are the ravens still up somewhere?
You didn't see them fly back.
Okay, so they're still there. I'm going to whistle at them.
I should specify. They flew out of the tower when Ori was getting close.
Oh, okay, got it.
With how dark it is outside, you were not able to track which way they went once they got out of the lantern light.
Okay, oh well, worth a try. That's what a bird would do, though. if they do a whistle, they'll try it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
They weren't cawing or anything.
Oh, just flutter.
It was just a burst of movement and darkness in the rain. And that's what startled Ori just enough. Whether or not Ori admits to being startled is irrelevant.
Meow. There's just the howling of a cat who is on the wrong side of the door.
And it looks like Perga is looking for the gate to get into the cemetery.
It is checking to see if there's like a mausoleum or a big statue or anything that might have like an overhang.
Good idea.
Unfortunately, the only overhang thing is the sign that says Brentifax, and it's way too narrow to provide rain cover. There's some overgrown shrubberies, but you'd have to be crawling to get underneath them.
Can I get in through there? I can. I don't know if I'm
I didn't put walls around it, but there's an open gate to the north on the north end. So if you want to be in the cemetery, you can be.
Okay. I'll go over here.
Oh, dear. Dear.
Is this the door?
Yes.
Okay. Going in. Let's see what I find.
Okay. You see four graves. Each one has a tombstone.
And go look at it.
Okay. The first one, when you go up to it, says, mm-hmm. Sylphine, beloved daughter, may she find peace at last.
Oh.
That's concerning.
Kaluth, our pride and joy, lost too soon.
Wow.
There's a one.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie didn't use up all the ones.
Ellie didn't use up all of them. There was still another one. The third grave says, Brorn, hound of Brantifax, faithful to the end.
Okay.
And yes, I am going to resolve that one in a little bit.
Mm.
And the last one says, Baron Brantifax, husband, father, hunter. Let no man stand above another.
So a family?
Well, kind of? One of them appears to be the family dog, but yes.
Oh, okay. Didn't yes. understand.
Brorn was the hound of Brantifax. Doesn't
know. Right. Okay.
Yes. Well, considering that three of you are very obviously animal kin, and the fourth one mm-hmm. is from a family of animal kin, but doesn't look it 100%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's easy to make the mistake.
Okay.
So, Perga, please share with us what you were doing as you rolled a natural one for excavation.
Well, you said that to get under the take cover in the shrubbery, someone would have to crawl. So I thought I'd make room for poor Porticolli, and well, that didn't go so well.
No, it didn't, unfortunately.
I'm concerned I might be stuck.
Well, you start digging, and the problem wasn't that there was an issue where you got stuck with too much dirt. The problem was the dirt started giving way a lot faster than you thought it would.
You may have moved
a load-bearing pebble.
Oh, no.
And you slide down. And considering where everyone else is, only Porticolli sees you starting to dig and then just go whoop, out of sight. And I'm going to move you over to where you end up.
There's a scaly pangolin tail that just went down. Pounce!
You fall through the crumbling remains of a wall and end up on a staircase. The staircase goes up and down.
I found a way in.
You just hear this voice coming up from the depths.
Yep.
Yes, that is what I was shooting for.
Okay.
Found a way in.
Down on all fours, peering, with lantern raised.
If you hadn't been digging in that exact spot, I wouldn't be able to do this, by the way. It just so happens the map mostly lines up doing this.
Oh, my. Okay.
Maybe I should just back up a little bit.
Tries to crawl in after.
Okay. Can I assume you're all following?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I am anyway. Yeah. I think we all are.
I have no intention of letting anybody explore something I don't get to explore.
Fair and valid. Okay, now I get to move you all over en masse. Oh, you didn't see that.
No, I didn't see it.
Didn't see that.
The hard thing is, because your vision is limited, if I click on your character to move you, I only see what your character sees.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You need to make an NPC like a lantern or something so that you can drag us into things.
I would still have the same problem if I select your character. I only see what your character sees.
Well, that's why you need to make an NPC.
Then I can move the NPC.
My
you grab them all, but
grab my
them.
Walking staff, right?
Meow.
I will have if nobody else did, since I was the last one down.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. And you have gotten to the first room inside this building. Congratulations, you have bypassed my door puzzle by rolling a nat 1.
Perfect.
I'm not sure if that's how it's supposed to work, but here we are. Okay, you are in room C1. This cold, damp, but still oddly more dry than outside, oddly shaped cellar has an 8-foot-high wooden ceiling and a flagstone floor. The walls are made of rough, mortared bricks. Thick cobwebs cover crates, barrels, and old furniture. The old furniture is in the crate and barrel. You go to the crate and barrel to get the old furniture. Sorry, I had to make the joke. Stacked against the north wall is where all those crates, barrels, and old furniture are. To the south are a pair of closed wooden doors. The door furthest from you swings open on rusty hinges. It's doing the whole thing. And beyond it, you see a smaller, almost sepulchral chamber.
Meow.
Incidentally, are the maps supposed to be disappearing again when I go around the corner?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have it set up so that it's a fog of war that you reveal once and then it's always there, because I was afraid I would do exactly what I did and reveal part of the map by dragging you through it by accident.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Also, it keeps things hidden a bit more, and it's a Halloween episode. It's supposed to be spooky scary.
Mm-hmm.
Wear a towel. I'm wet. Wet.
Shake it off.
Taylor Swift it.
Shake, 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 shake.
Okay. You are entering room C3. Well, Ori enters it, because of course Ori had to see what was on the other side of the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
The only feature of this damp, cold, circular room is a 4-foot diameter well. Well, well, well. No, it's just the one. It's just the one well. In the middle of the floor.
Is it like the one ring?
It is circular.
You did say it was the one well.
I think it's going well. Wet, very furred cat back there doesn't agree, but whatever.
No.
Next to this well shaft sits a wooden bucket fastened to a coiled length of rope. The bottom of the shaft is veiled in darkness. From its depths, a whispering voice says, "Brom, where are you, boy?"
Uh-oh.
I like that there is a green circle around the well. Mm-hmm. I did not put that there. I am running this scenario with my after-school club. They have their last session this coming Monday. And their experience with this well, I am certain, is going to go somewhat different than your experience.
Probably.
I will not tell you what they did, because if I do, someone's going to say, "Well, what if?"
Yeah. So someone's in the well?
You heard a whispering voice from down there say, "Brom." It said, "Brorn, where are you, boy?"
Huh. Was there someone named Brom in the graveyard?
Brorn?
I think that was the dog. Brorn,
that was the Hound of Brantifax, yes.
Okay.
Someone's
is that
looking for their dog.
Calling? Yeah, they're looking for their dog.
Timmy is in the well.
Or Brorn was.
Is there water in the well, or is it just, like, hollow?
You can't see down far enough to tell.
Okay. Mm.
Considering how damp it is in here, it's likely.
Mm. How do you get from the graveyard to the well? Or is this just like an echo or something? I'm going to go check the graveyard again and see if anybody got out. It'd probably take a while to do, though. You know?
Is there a towel in here?
You don't see a towel, but... Oh, someone opened the door to room C2.
Ow.
The door to this room is closed and stuck, having swollen in its frame, but you can use an action to force it open. This cold...
Why use an action when you can scratch on it and cry for a while?
And then someone else comes over and uses the action for you. This cold, windowless room contains a pair of wood-framed beds, two narrow wardrobes, and an old rug. Mounted on the east wall between the beds is a wooden shelf supporting a pair of candlesticks. The candles in them are unlit.
Is there a towel?
There's a rug.
I'm gonna go sit on the rug and loaf up on the rug and drip miserably for a while.
I'm gonna use my restorative aura cipher.
Okay.
And I don't know how to link that in the chat.
Let me see. I'm not sure we need to link it.
Okay.
But okay, you're using the restorative aura.
Yes. And I'm going to take a minute and catch my breath.
Okay. While you are doing that, Portokali, you feel drier and drier and drier.
Oh.
I only need 5.
All right.
Purr.
When the effects are no longer needed for this safe space that has been created, the rug directly underneath you is dry. The rest of the rug is sopping wet. All of the liquid has been wicked away from you.
Stand up carefully. Step off the rug. Look alarmed at the rug.
You can see the dry spot slowly shrinking as osmosis pulls the moisture over the dry spot.
Well, that effect lasts for an hour, so hopefully we'll spend more from our pools before that happens, before that ends.
Okay.
Right. Well, you can
but
go
yes,
back.
I am spending.
Sorry.
I am spending my entire action on recovering. So. Okay.
And anyone who spends an action to recover, because that's the first recovery roll you can do, can get the same benefits. Where +2 is added to your recovery roll. All right, well, you can either go back and examine the well, or you can try going up the stairs, because where you ended up on the stairwell was halfway down the stairwell. But C2 doesn't have anything else in it. It had the wardrobes, but they're empty.
I suppose everyone's looking over here.
I'm gonna hold my lantern over the well and peer down, but
the lantern light does not extend far enough to tell for sure what's at the bottom.
Okay.
You'd have to drop something down.
No, all my things are mine.
I'm not dropping my pebble down. I'm not dropping my tower down.
By the way, I rolled for another GM intrusion, and it gave me one involving the weather.
So it's snowing now.
Wait, there's a hole there. Is the water coming in the hole?
It is, but this room is already damp, so it's not much of a difference.
It's a difference to me.
The stairs are wet.
How many stairs? How high up does it go?
The staircase goes up 8 feet.
8 feet, okay.
Yeah, it's 2 flights, 4 feet each.
Okay.
It's wet.
Is there enough room for me to fly over the stairs and get to the top?
Unfortunately, no, but mainly because you have friends in the way. Okay, I am going to drag you three up.
It's all wet.
Well, I'll carry you.
I have ghost versions of you. Give me a second here.
Oh,
fair. Now I'm on the ground.
Yeah. That coin landed on its edge, according to my screen.
It is an indecisive coin.
Honestly, what Portokali might have done, depending on how much wet was coming in from the hole, is possibly pick up the pangolin to use as an improvised umbrella.
Okay, that's the opposite of what I was offering, but yes. All right.
The hole that the water is coming in is over to the side of the halfway up landing portion. So you never have to go outside and have the rain coming down on you. It's mainly creating a water hazard on the ground. But when you go up the stairs, there's a door. You go through the door, and that takes you to... I can't read the name of the room because somebody's on top of it. Give me a second here.
C4.
There we go. You are...
C4.
You are in the explosives room.
Apparently.
Yes.
Yay.
When in doubt,
I
C4.
Don't want to be in. Oh, no.
There is a small person with glowing yellow eyes wearing a brown robe who is offering you a Reuben sandwich.
What?
Rotini, no.
They smile and say, Utini! Which translates to, I'm not even in this campaign.
Uh-huh.
Yes. You are actually... You are actually in the cloakroom. Rusty iron hooks line the walls of this entrance foyer. Hanging from two of these hooks are a shovel and a rake. A dusty cloak is draped over a hook next to a round-topped door in the south wall. That round-topped door in the south wall is the one that you just came through. You also have the barred door to the east, which you weren't able to get through when you were outside. It's got that crossbeam going across, just like was scanned earlier. And you have a closed door to the west.
Gonna go over to the door that has the crossbar and move the crossbar.
Congratulations, because you have unlocked the door.
Yes.
Do you open it?
Just a little to see if it's still raining.
You open it to see wet.
Close the door.
It is wet as high as you can see.
No.
And as far as you can see, which isn't much because of the wet. And while you are playing with doors, so is Ori. Because Ori is going into C5. Ori keeps rolling a D2. So C5 is a den. Light enters the spacious room through a bulge in the north wall, where cracked and broken windows look out over a foggy veil. The foggy veil is also filled with thunder and lightning, and it's very, very frightening. That's the light you're seeing coming in. Dusty sheets cover most of the room's furnishings. Cobwebs stretch between the antlers, wolf heads, and other hunting trophies mounted on the walls above the wainscoting. I think this person just wanted to show off they know what wainscoting is. I'm okay with that. A pale rectangle above a large fireplace suggests that a picture or mirror once hung there.
Look under all of the furniture to see if there are any catnip mice.
You do not find any catnip mice. It is possible that the Brantifaxes were dog people. Not dog people, but people who preferred dogs.
You know.
How
about chew toys?
You do not find any chew toys.
Well, where's the treasure here?
That's an excellent question.
And I've looked under all of the furniture.
Where else would people put the treasure? Yeah, I know. I understand. But it does look like Ori is peeking into C8.
Yes. And the reason Ori is flipping a coin every time she's presented with two choices.
Oh, that's what that's for.
So C8 is the parlor. The centerpiece of this parlor is a gold inlaid low table around which a handful of overstuffed chairs and sofas are neatly arranged. Other furniture includes a cabinet full of glass decanters and wine goblets and a 6-foot-tall gilded harp standing in the northwest corner. A staircase in the northeast corner ascends to the second floor, and several dusty sheets lie in a small heap nearby.
Someone uncovered the harp.
And the overstuffed furniture.
Mm-hmm. How odd. Can't get in.
I figured someone had killed some ghosts.
So, who said they couldn't get in?
Me.
Where were you trying to get in?
C8.
Okay. I saw someone very quickly, and forgive my addled brain, but someone very quickly was going up to C7 and closed the door and opened it again. Was that Perga?
It might have been me.
I was trying to go to C8 and noticed the doors closing and needed to open then see if C8 was in there because I can't see the part
you
of
can't
the map
see the numbers.
Revealed by other characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like how that makes it spookier, even if it makes it less convenient. Because convenience and spookiness are polar opposites. Like, convenience and security. Yes.
That's
so true. As you're walking away from C7, you heard a snorting hog again coming from that door that you closed and opened again.
Odd.
There is a thump from directly above Crazy and Ori, followed Uh-oh. By the sound of something heavy being drug across the floor above you.
We're heading up.
Yeah. Are we? All right.
Well, I am. I don't know about anybody else.
I'll go with. Let's all go together. I suppose I must also.
I'm going to stack all of you and just drag you all at once.
Okay. Sure.
This is like the worst way to travel.
We're Everyone remember where you parked. Doing that Scooby-Doo thing where we all... where we all peek out one by one.
There you go. Now you're on the staircase on the second floor.
Okay.
You might not be lined up perfectly. Let me know if you're stuck in a wall.
All right. Let's hold up my lantern and take a peek.
The large, curious, fluffy cat will also take a peek.
You hear glass breaking above you.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Somebody's mad.
Body? Are we sure there's a body?
Which direction was the glass breaking? Aside from above.
It would have been on the other side of the wall to the east of you.
Okay. Hey, a staircase.
Yes. The staircases are a little weird. It's because this house was multi-level and built into a hill. I assure you, it makes sense to somebody. One. But you have entered room C12.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
That staircase doesn't make you go up into another floor. It takes you to the room you're in. The study. Against the west wall stands a handsome roll-top desk, north of which two leather-padded armchairs face a fireplace, carved with images of wolves and stags. Draped over each chair is a wolf skin. A narrow spiral staircase, choked with cobwebs, winds up the east wall. You see no sign of a body having been drug anywhere.
Desk? Shelves? Catnip toys?
The roll-top desk is locked shut.
Poke. Shake it gently back and forth, side to side to see if anything rattles.
Yes, something in there rattles.
Ooh. Pet fascinator.
Possibly some small things and a larger thing. The larger thing slides.
Wait, Ori's going up the stairs.
Ori is rolling for spider webs.
Oh.
Is difficulty 0, you find them.
I do indeed.
With an 18, you find all the spider webs.
Shake stick, walking stick at spider webs.
As you're clearing out the spider webs as best you can, I can't believe this is a GM intrusion. You make awkward eye contact with an NPC. Well, the only NPC that's in here is the spider in a web directly in front of you. It's looking at you. You're looking at it.
Hey, buddy. I take out my knife and move this over here. And I move the spider web over to the wall.
Give me a speed roll. Difficulty 2. With a 15, you very easily relocate the spider to someplace better for it. I'm giving you an XP for the GM intrusion.
Huh.
And you can continue up the stairs to the third floor.
Gotta follow Ori.
Mm-hmm.
Boop. Y'all keep moving so I can't drag your characters where they need to be.
Okay, sorry. I'll stop moving.
The bird and the cat keep escaping.
Yes.
This is too on brand. I don't like... Okay. I have to move you and then click on you to move you again and then unclick on you to see where I need to move you to. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you are in a very small room with a fireplace and a window and the top of the staircase. C15. This attic has a peaked roof that slopes down towards the east and west. Dust blankets everything in the room, including a stone hearth in the middle of the north wall. Come on. Yes. I'm trying to parse this sentence because different things mean different things. An oval mirror mounted above the fire. There's an oval mirror mounted above the fireplace and an oval rug on the floor. Against the west wall, half hidden behind curtains of cobwebs, is a bed sized for a young child, a rocking chair, a shelf lined with dolls, and a wash basin. A niche to the south contains a small wooden cradle, a wooden playpen, and a window box. Suspended above the playpen is a mobile made of colorfully painted fish on the ends of hooks.
Treasure.
Treasure?
Treasure. Bat, 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 bat.
No, no, no. Oh.
Gently.
Very what are you gentle. Batting?
The mobile.
The mobile?
Treasure.
The mobile begins to spin slowly because you have batted it, and it is very well balanced.
Fortikali is going to stare at it with their pupils enormous.
Fortikali, it moved.
It moved.
Ooh. Well, we lost Fortikali.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Oh, now what do we do?
Oh, Fortikali is enraptured.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'd like to see if there's anything else that bears further examination.
Well, you have, like I said, you've got the dolls, you've got the cradle. Did I say there was a rocking horse? I scrolled away.
Mm-hmm. Rocking Maybe. Horse or rocking chair?
It's one or the other.
Oval mirror above the fireplace, oval rug. Uh-huh. There's a bed for a young child, a rocking chair, not rocking horse.
Right.
A shelf line with dolls and a wash basin. There is also a wooden playpen, a window box, the cradle, which I already said, the mobile, which is the most awesome thing ever created, if you ask the Fortikali. The sound of breaking glass from the other side of the west wall.
And any sign of smashed things?
No, nothing in here looks smashed. Dusty, yes. Covered in cobwebs, yes.
Ugh.
Old
bird flaps Definitely all of yes. the cobwebs off of her wings right now.
Like that. Roll for allergies.
Roll. Yes. Honestly, though, birds make their own dust on their own. So, yeah.
Ori was scanning.
Ori scans.
Yeah, I'm scanning a 10-foot cube that includes the dolls.
There's nothing inherently special about the dolls. Other than they were loved. And something is still here.
Everyone make a friendship. No.
But I will say specifically, your scan reveals that you're not alone in this room.
Okay.
Maybe it's a child.
We've been playing for about 1:25, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, let's take a short break.
Okay. I'm fine with it. There's a car slamming outside my door behind the bookshelf here, so.
That's okay. Fun. I'm not hearing it. So it's all good. And I am unpaused. Okay, good. So,
okay.
Yes, right before we took the break, I was being reminded that I'd forgotten to take a break almost 30 minutes before I was... Never mind. In any case, we're back. You're not alone. There's a bunch of creepy dolls that were loved. But they're creepy. Also, that mobile is moving.
That's because the cat tapped it.
The cat tapped it.
Well, maybe. Yes... But I don't see why you're bringing that up. It's moving.
But there was glass shattering, so that's distracted. So there was staring at the glass shattering.
Is it staring at the glass shattering, or one of your ears swiveling towards the glass shattering as you stare at the mobile?
Probably looked over shoulder to look at where the glass was shattering, because that's not a good noise.
Fair. Well, it was happening on the other side of that wall.
I don't think we want to scratch through the wall.
Not with that attitude.
Sorry, there was glass shattering in front of us?
No.
No,
on the other side of the wall.
On the other side of the wall.
There is a wall to the west, and the longest portion of the wall, the wall itself is like, there's multiple walls to the west. But the biggest of the walls to the west, there was glass shattering on the other side.
That didn't work. Okay.
Can't stare through the wall.
There does not appear to be a door. The only way you've seen in or out of this room is the staircase.
All right.
Should we go back down? And maybe come back up and dust all the dolls or and take and get the it's moving.
It isn't moving quite as fast as it was earlier.
Tap, tap, tap.
Now it's moving as fast as it was earlier.
Well, hello?
Are you using your ability?
Yes.
Okay. There is definitely a presence.
Why am I down 3 intellect points? I should be down 1 because I helped once and have an edge of 1.
So, asked and answered. Thank goodness it wasn't me.
But now I am going to be down 2 more.
Okay. 1 second.
Herga sort of sits down and shifts their walking stick with lantern to the crook of an arm and sort of holds out their other hand, sort of like they're offering something, though they don't really have anything to offer at this point.
For everyone else, nothing happens, but something takes your hand. It's very small, it's very delicate, and through your communion ability that you are using, created specifically for this game and this character, I am going to say you are aware of the dichotomy that's taking place because the being you are communing with right now is very old. They have been here a very long time, but also they are incredibly young, not older than 10, maybe closer to half that. You don't know the exact age, but as is often the case, when there is a very young death, their personality crystallizes. So they've just always been this age.
Well, you're not alone up here. Have you been alone up here?
You don't get a response that's words. More flashes of insight. Some of them sounds. Very brief images, so fast that it's hard to catch details. This spirit did not have a very good life compared to others. But they had people who cared for them. They had their dolls. They would have been furious had any of you messed with them. But you respectfully kept your distance and avoided a GM intrusion.
Hooray.
A while back, some birds came through, but they left and didn't come back again. They were large black birds. The forms are distorted through the memories of a child, so you can't really tell what kind. Also, they probably weren't that large, but 6-year-old, you were saying.
Is this where you want to be? Is there another place you'd rather be?
They don't understand the question. They've always been here for as long as they can remember. They grew up in this room. That is their cradle. That is their bed for when the cradle got too small. They had a deformity. They didn't look like other people, and it made life very hard for them.
Oh.
It's possible that deformity is what led to their early death. But they had their mother. They had their father. They had the maid. They had a older sister. No, younger sister. I'm sorry. I remembered the notes wrong. They had a younger sister.
Well, if this is where you want to stay, that's fine. But there are places and entities, I suppose, who help when...
You get a sensation...
When your body doesn't work any.
When you start talking about entities, you get a flash of something horrid. You don't see it. They didn't see it either. It's not something large, but it has an aura that extends for a great distance.
No, Beth and not Shat, like that.
Peering at the cleric.
That's a fluffy orange peer.
And the
that's
thing
not the sword I talk to.
Took something from the graveyard and left something in its place. This entity doesn't know what it was. It thinks it's something that should have been important to it, but it only knows this room. It doesn't even know how it knows of the graveyard.
Does the ghost
try to find it?
Does the ghost want the place dusted?
Would you like it if we cleaned this place a little bit?
The maid should be back any moment now. She's never gone for that long. She probably just got caught up in something else. You recognize this as echoing, a thing that a spirit will do when their personality has crystallized. The maid is not coming back. Has not been back for decades, most likely.
If you'd prefer we'd not touch anything, that's fine.
It wasn't a, no, don't you dare. It was a, oh no, you don't have to go to that trouble.
But if she's busy, it couldn't hurt to help her out a little bit.
Everyone who wishes to help, roll a speed task to clean.
Speed task?
Yes.
How do you do this?
You roll greater than a 2.
I didn't roll anything.
Yes, but Ori rolled a 2.
I'm going to spend an XP to reroll that.
Yes. It's a one shot. You might want to spend XP instead of trying to level up. Cypher Shorts doesn't do levels.
To reroll a 1?
You may spend an XP to reroll a 1.
Let's try
and
that.
And instead of actually rolling myself, I am going to help everyone else out because I have the feeling that this is one of those times where I have this big long tail and this.
You are in a tight
space. These
not very
long arms.
You are in a tight space and you are armored. You are definitely hindered in this space for speed tasks, as is a certain cockatiel, if I recall.
But I am easing everyone's task and spending another intellect point by sort of shuffling around and giving people a hand and going, oh, be careful with that.
That's enough to undo the hindrance that Crazy would be getting because of their wings.
Yep.
Before we started cleaning, I just remembered I wanted to do something.
Okay.
Which was see if I could identify an area where there wasn't as much dust, I guess.
Technically near the fireplace because of drafts, but there were no footprints. There was no area that looked like it was cleaned more than other areas.
Okay. There was just something about something being taken.
Yes, but it wasn't taken from here. It was taken from somewhere outside.
Oh, I got that backwards. I thought it was taken from here to somewhere outside.
All right. So with the roll of 19 and the roll of 12, I will say that you do a... There might be somebody who puts on a white glove and rubs it across a shelf and then looks at it and goes, tisk, tisk. But to a 6-year-old, you have done a fantastic job.
And checked under the bed in case there were any catnip mice.
No catnip mice. You did bat a few dust bunnies out of there, though.
I feel like if there's... Okay, it's obviously the kid from what our cleric was saying. Poor Kali will take out some small cat toy and carefully put it under the bed. Because that is where they go. Now it's sharing a treasure.
Yeah.
And then look carefully at our pangolin to make sure that they did good. They did good. This is good, right?
And Perga is nodding approvingly and sort of pats Portacoli on the shoulder in a good-natured sort of way.
Purring.
Okay. Now, for your good deeds, I am going to award some things. Technically, you get a warm, fuzzy feeling, and this gives it to you. However, Game mechanics wise, I can't have a fictional spirit give awards.
Mm.
True.
Yes.
That's what the warm fuzzy feeling is.
So, Portacolli.
No, wait.
You get, if I can do this right, a nutrition and hydration cipher.
Ooh.
And you can look and see what that does.
Go without food and water for 4 days without ill effect. That will be useful.
Ori, you are getting an analeptic. It's basically a health potion for speed pool. Perga, you are getting a mind stabilizer. And Crazy, you are getting a skill boost.
Okay.
That's not, it doesn't mean I'm boosting one of your skills. I mean,
no.
This is a thing that, 86. Okay. So this is something that you can use to boost your swimming skill.
Neat.
Yes. In case you had jumped down the well.
That's great.
I'm setting up the contingent activator to trigger the analeptic when my speed goes below a third, goes below two thirds.
Thus, using both of them so you can get another cipher.
Yes.
Well, all right.
I have to. The contingent activator doesn't go away until I use it to trigger a cipher.
I still think it's funny. Anyway, with those awards handed out and a warm, fuzzy feeling for all, there's nothing else you can do in this room.
Okay.
I mean, yes, you could hang out here for long enough for the recording to get to 2 hours, and then we do we have a second Halloween one shot that goes for a year.
Oh my!
I'm not opposed to this. I'm really liking these characters.
Yeah,
let's go downstairs then.
But if we're going to do that, we're going to remake them as Cypher System characters as opposed to Cypher Shorts. Yeah, everyone in the elevator. I mean, staircase.
And you go.
And close the door behind us.
Well, yes, you don't want to let in a draft. Okay, and once again, I need to move you and then unclick you so I could check the map to see where you're going to. Then do that again and realize I missed. So we do it again. There.
Okay.
I fired and I missed.
I fired again. I missed again.
There's something missing from the graveyard. Some entity took something.
Let's go find it.
Is it still raining?
I don't know.
When you ask, is it still raining? You hear a crack, boom. And the windows out that in the room that you're in just like light up. Like there's spotlights briefly.
Yeah. It's still raining. All it's right. still raining. Maybe we can find whatever it is that is in here. Maybe there's something in here. Is there something in here?
Okay. So Ori is heading downstairs.
Oh.
While you're opening that door right there on the second floor. So we are splitting the party. And I am here for this. I'm okay with this.
In my defense, I can't see what other characters are doing, even if I unselect myself. Oh, now I can.
Okay. So, the doors aren't...
I thought Ori was doing what people said we were doing.
Yeah.
You did go downstairs, but you didn't go all the way down to the first floor. You went down to the second floor.
Right. Oh.
So... Do you want to be back up on the second floor with everyone else, or?
No, I'm going out to the graveyard. It will not have occurred to Ori that nobody's behind her.
Okay.
Oh, well.
As you go through the cloakroom, you pass a shovel, a rake, and a large dusty cloak.
I'm going to scan those.
There's a key in the cloak pocket.
Neat. I'm going to take it.
It's rusty. You need to find the rusty lock to go with the rusty key.
Okay.
If you find the blue lock, that needs a blue key. If you find a red lock, that needs a red key. If you hear the doom music kick in, run.
Is this the barred door?
Well, it was, but somebody unbarred it.
Okay.
My character
now it doesn't sing songs anymore.
Yeah, I'm stuck in a doorway.
As you open and close the door over and over again.
I'm trying.
Okay.
There we go. All
okay, right. So wait, while you're going out to the graveyard,
yes.
What room is everyone else going into?
I don't know.
Porticali is following the burb.
The burb? Where's the burb? I can't even well, see where my knows character the burb is the burb. Right now. Oh, there it is.
You're on a...
trying to keep Orange out of trouble.
I will change the name on that character sheet to Orange. Okay.
That's Orange.
Yeah, I so, only took Ori.
The name.
You can't have that nickname.
Oh, it's a mess down here.
Oh, it's, yes. It's so, the... let me read the description for C14 before anyone else goes to a different floor because you found another staircase.
Sorry.
C14, no. You're in a room that I want to read the description for. Orange found a staircase.
Okay.
Thought that was where the birdie was.
No, down here. The
birdie went into a tower.
Uh-huh.
C14. An explosion of some kind damaged the two uppermost levels of this tower, creating a gaping hole between them and covering the area with soot. A curved wooden staircase that once rose along the outer wall has been destroyed, leaving no easy way to reach what remains of the tower's topmost floor. All that's left of the staircase are a few jagged shards of wood that jut out from the wall at different angles.
Is it a big enough room where I can just fly up a little bit?
I mean, you can attempt it, sure.
All right. How do I make that work, though?
Okay, so your ability is called Glide.
Mm-hmm.
So but it does say there. That you can spend 2 speed points to move up to a medium distance. And I would say that could take you up a floor or two.
Okay. So I can use 2 speed?
Yes. So your speed should go from 13. You've got a plus and minus sign directly below.
Oh, okay.
You can click on the minus sign twice to take out 2 speed.
1, 2. Okay.
There you go.
11.
And now I get to move your floor.
Okay.
Whee! And as you fly up into this loft area, there's a large portion of the roof that is missing
not
here
there.
As well. Uh-huh. Yes. And you see some what appear to be large ravens flying out. And there's all kinds of stuff moving here as they flap their wings hurriedly to leave.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of like fabric that's on the ground. There's a chest over in the corner. Let's see. Do I have a description for this? Because apparently I labeled both floors C14. That is not correct.
Oh. Okay.
Actually, it kind of is, but that shouldn't be because there is a description here. Okay. There's a wooden chest with a scorched lid and clawed iron feet. And there are some, the fabric that you saw flapping around looks to be like robes.
Oh.
There's 4 pairs of them.
Hmm. Are they dusty?
No, they're damp. You are under part of the roof that's intact.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're damp.
Yes. Now, we're going to cut to Ori. You're in the graveyard.
Okay.
What are you up to?
I can't go through that.
I didn't put walls for the graveyard, even though I technically probably should have. But you went through the gate anyway.
Not scanning yet, but I'm looking for things that might be disturbed. Looking carefully.
Give me an intellect roll for your looking.
Can I add perception?
You most definitely can. So that'll ease the task. I'm going to say to 4.
Okay. So it was 5?
It was 5.
Okay. I am going to spend a level of effort.
Okay. I'll take it down to 3. You need to roll 9 or higher. Oof.
I'm going to spend another XP.
Yes.
For the record, that was an 8. It was 1 off.
Oh.
That was worse.
Oh.
Okay, I don't find anything.
You can't tell if anything here has been disturbed. It is dark, it is raining, and there's enough stuff going on here that if it was a dry day, a stiff breeze would cover up a lot of stuff with leaves.
Okay.
Not that you can imagine a dry day right now.
I'd like to reread the gravestones.
Oh, certainly.
And you can just put those in chat. You don't have to read them out loud again because you've already done that.
If only I was able to copy paste.
Hmm.
Oh, darn. So we got Baron Grantifax, husband, father, hunter. Brorn, the hound. Heluth, pride and joy lost too soon. And Sylphine, beloved daughter, may she find peace at last.
I think that's who was in the attic.
The order I read them in, the graves are in that order going south to north. So the Baron's in the southmost grave, and Sylphine's tombstone is the northmost tombstone. All right. And while you are pondering that, let's cut to Portokali the Orange.
Where's the bird?
Am I far away enough to hear that or not hear that? Or
you are one story higher.
Okay.
And several walls separate from them.
Crazy.
I'm going to take one of these cloaks in my beak and sort of glide down through the hole in the floor and see where I end up.
It is technically a robe, not a cloak.
You can't
drape it over yourself quickly.
Okay.
You could don it by pulling over your head, but your wings would get in the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I'm just going to fly down.
Okay. Are you leaving the robes up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Too hard to take them all. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. So do I roll something for this?
No, because you're just gliding, and gliding doesn't require a roll.
Okay. I'll just go back to... Yeah.
There you go.
That one. Okay. I'm over here.
Perga, what are you up to?
Where's here? Trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, the party split in three different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a valid concern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear, oh dear. Where are we going? Where is Crazy going?
I'm over here.
You do hear Crazy's voice coming from down the hallway and around a corner.
Uh-huh. I'm over here.
Oh. Yes, but why?
I flew up somewhere and came back here, and there's all these little sticks, so I'm going to make a nest for somebody. Somebody might need one.
Sticks? What?
Sticks. See? Broken.
Yeah, you see the utter devastation that is this floor of the tower.
Uh-huh.
What
happened here?
That's an excellent question.
Like this when I got there. Mm-hmm.
Perga, what happened here?
Apparently I am trained in finding or noticing small details. Can I roll that?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to say, with the roll of an 8, and you rolled very fast, technically I was supposed to give you a target number first, and then you argued to bring it down, but that's okay. I'm going to say that as you look around, you see, like, there's lots of soot everywhere, so your first thought is there was a fire, but, you know, more of the wood would have been burned if there was, like, a sustained fire in here, so it wasn't that. And as you continue to look around, you see there's like fragments of what looks like might have been a larger table, but not like an ornate one like that was in the dining room or the study. This was more of a workbench. And, you know, there's a lot of shattered glass and alchemy.
Ah.
Someone was attempting alchemy. And they got the other result, the one that you get when you aren't turning things into gold, but are in fact turning them into Gear Grinder Special.
Oops.
But.
Meanwhile, Ori, you are over by Sylphine's grave.
I am. Although that's a coincidence more than anything else.
Okay. Either the rain is starting to let up or you're feeling it less because of how much it's been raining.
Yeah. Oh, rain doesn't bother me.
Rain never bothered me anyway. Do you want to build a rain man? We could definitely build a rain man. He'd be a very good driver.
Only...
it's wet.
I love that you turned the groan from my joke into a complaint about in-character reason for complaining.
Yeah, I'm still just looking around.
You are not finding anything additional, unfortunately. I figured,
but she is going to exhaust all possibilities before she heads back up to the house.
Okay.
Wet.
Meanwhile, everyone else is at the base of the ruined tower. If you don't want to get wet, you don't want to stand in here because there are some small puddles from the hole high enough up. But it looks like Portokali the Orange happens to be in the hallway as opposed to going into the tower proper. So
that's right. They got partway, just sort of ooched a little bit and discovered that there was a lot of wet, and they have not gone into the room proper.
And
because it's wet.
In an attempt to find where the rest of you are, Ori has gone into C6. And someone has sunk my battleship. Wait, hold on.
I hope there's not a battleship in this house.
Hopefully not in C6. That's the dining room. The circular chamber at the base of the tower contains a large oak dining table surrounded by 6 high-backed chairs carved with images of stags. Suspended above the table is a gaudy chandelier tied off with ropes. Puddles of water on the flagstone floor are the result of moisture seeping through 3 narrow broken windows evenly spaced around the tower wall. A fireplace set into the wall is blackened by soot. You also hear the sound of footsteps from directly above you and the distinct cry of, "It's wet! It's wet!"
Well, at least I know they're safe.
Are we still getting rained on in here?
It's like drips. It's not a downpour. There's enough stuff in the way that the water isn't flooding in. And in the meantime, Ori has gone into the room next to the dining room, C7. The ghostly scent of meals past still haunts this kitchen, forever trapped in the wood of its tables, the soot in its hearth, and the grime in its pots, many of which hang from hooks about the room. Almost everything you would expect to see in a kitchen of this size can be found here, including dish-filled cupboards, cleaning supplies, and cooking utensils. Mice scurry across the floor, trying their best to avoid you.
Mice?
Give me an intellect roll. Difficulty 3 for piecing something together.
Okay.
That's an 11. You haven't really seen rodents anywhere else. They tend to congregate where there is a source of food. This is a very old chalet. Anything in the kitchen would have long ago rotted, unless it had been restocked. A very quick inspection reveals, oh, yes, there's spices in here. That's a bag of flour. This kitchen is still being used. And that's where we're going to end it for tonight. Because we've been recording for over 2 hours. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for playing. I have been Crash, and I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Io, Jen, and Ellie. I had to do that by memory because I can't find Discord. There we go. I'm so glad I remembered all of your names.
Yay.
I didn't call Jen by their screen name. Well, yes.
Oh, wait, this is a Halloween episode. I should be Ely.
Oh, you're right. And Io is taking the old Rob Robertson Jr. approach because Io's screen name just goes off into the distance and gets cropped off.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We got the first 2 letters of the third player character that Io has. I love this. So, who wants to plug a thing?
Io's mom writes books at ElizabethMcCoy.com, and they're ebooks. And therefore, you can ask your library to get some ebooks because they're pretty cheap, especially considering what, you know, the traditional publishers ask for ebooks, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, 20 or 30 bucks at least, hundreds wow. sometimes.
Wow, wow.
For a limited use, for like, mm. you know, licensed for a limited number of uses or for a limited duration. Hundreds of dollars. It's like, what? Wow. Mine are like, none of them is over $6, I think, $7. So.
Which is likely why my library has them.
Yeah, pocket change.
Mm.
That's what they are, is pocket change. So please ask your local library and then you download the Libby app and you read it for free. And I still get paid by the library because they bought it. And everybody's happy, right?
Yep, yep.
And speaking of books that make people happy.
My website is bookofjen.net. It does have some book reviews at the top and a bunch of video game stuff beyond that. And whatever else I try to put on there. So that's bookofjen.net. It's been around for a while. Also, I'm the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which talks about everything that has to do with Blizzard and the Diablo games and things like that. You can find that every Saturday. I got to do one of these. I didn't do it yet. Every Saturday at shatteredsoulstone.com.
Speaking of podcasts, or maybe websites.
You best be believing in podcasts. You're in one.
Yeah.
So we take all of these recordings and put them on aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel so you can subscribe to them and hear them. And each ongoing campaign has its own RSS feed, but we also have one that rules them all that we put all the shows in, which is likely where people will be hearing this one, because I don't think many people have subscribed to the one-shots feed, to be honest. I could be wrong. We also can be followed on the Fediverse, is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying,
Nevermore!
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.